It's time for
And that's right. Hey, as our correspondent from Maine State Prison, Dean Brown, prisoner number 4059. Dean, can you hear me?
Good morning.
Well, good morning. What's happening?
Trying to find them rubber stamps.
Oh, my gosh. Well, with that kind of a cost, you ought to have a lot of them. Well, I am just astonished at some of the prices there, as you say. You know, and it's hard to tell about these chairs.
Yep.
You know, like I said, there seems to be two different companies, the Norix Group with their chairs, and who are these other people with their expensive chairs as well?
The only chairs that were replaced since this place has opened were the leg has like five wheels on it, like a tree on the bottom, big comfortable adjustable arm chairs.
What about the mental health furniture? There was $22,000 worth of that was bought back in June of last year.
Right. I was referring to the replacement chairs, to spend that much money on
mm-hmm.
chairs. Do you think they replaced every... If you look at the chairs we have the Integra, the armed and armless chairs, like plastic outdoor chairs, hollow shell molded chairs.
Yeah.
There's nothing to them. And I think it was $10,000 would buy a lot more than we'd need. But they did replace all of the officers' chairs in medium and close units.
Norix Group has some very excellent chairs for that sort of thing.
$500 a piece.
I guess it's hard. These folks seem kind of shy about prices.
That's just they're used to dealing with prices and an issue, you know. Oh,
you have to ask. You can't afford it.
Don't worry about it. If you ain't got a slush fund, you know.
This kind of puzzles me, this mental health furniture. The Moduform has its 450 series seclusion bed.
Can I try one?
Well, rotationally molded seamless polyvinyl chloride with leather texture. And restraint and floor mount options. And I don't know, it just seems like a solid block of plastic to me, but it does have a foam interior. Leather texture, so you don't, don't get bed sores over the weeks and months.
Over the month of being trapped in the damn thing.
I wonder. As it says, that's a bed for a critical environment. Critical environments necessitate safe, secure, and durable furniture. And their fully roto-molded vinyl is 10 times thicker than ordinary vinyl for security and long life. And so...
You can torture people for a long time or something.
Right. Blood wipes right off it, I'm sure. And the only furniture they show are just these desks and some kind of bunk beds that are frame mounts to floor with tamper-proof hardware, single or bunk versions, steel frames.
The question is, why would that stuff be getting paid for out of the inmate benefit fund when there's a budget for that kind of stuff?
Well, you know, that's an awfully good question, and I've tried to understand this because I don't understand the dates. It's like the balance, the original amount. I just don't get how it's going. It's as if the balance started with $15, and it ends with $91,000. But I know that doesn't make any sense. That the more they spend, the more money there is.
Well, tally on the far right column is that accounting as it grows to the bottom line of $96,000.
Hmm.
The general accounting itself, they won't give us this. We have to needle to get it. But the miscellaneous heading was $96,000 for miscellaneous. And we said, well, what the hell is miscellaneous about $96,000?
Yeah.
We'd like to know.
Oh, okay.
Look at the entire account, each heading, you've got games, recreation department, got so much money.
Microwaves, yeah.
Those are things that the inmates use. We get our foodstuffs to supplement the chow hall food through Pine State Vending, and we pay them a hefty tax, and then we pay the prison a hefty tax for the privilege. And by the time it's done, you get a 4-ounce bag of coffee for about $1 an ounce, which is pretty crazy. But the miscellaneous account was $96,000, and somebody ran off that accounting of what was spent miscellaneously. There are other things that they did not want us to see that somebody got a hold of and made some notes of. There was $10,000 spent on a state cookout for the guards, for Guard Appreciation Day.
That came out of the prisoner benefit fund?
Yes.
I guess a well-stuffed guard is a happy guard. Is that it?
They bought boots and belts and other items for them out of that account that somehow they make a justification to themselves or somebody and that it's for our benefit, and they go and buy the stuff. And we have no say over it. We have no control over it, and it's all we can do to even get a glimpse at what they might be doing. They look. Did you see the renovations and repairs? Building renovations and repairs is like two on the not on that list, but on the.
Let's see. There's all right. That'd probably be the.
There's a single sheet.
Okay.
You've got the miscellaneous account, which is broken down. Then you get a regular sheet that has the basic overall.
Yep.
You see building repairs and renovations.
Let's see, grounds, furniture. Well, let's see, there's a number of different sheets here.
There's one individual sheet separate from the packet. That's the overall account itself.
Ah, okay. Well, I'm not sure if I was given that one from our associate. Because I've got everything stapled together and then a copy of the main revised statutes in a newspaper clipping.
Okay. So there should have been a separate page. But the overall account statement, they said building repairs and renovations, $230,000. That sounds like a building itself.
Yeah, that's it's a plum contract for whoever got that.
But we don't get to see a breakdown like we do with the miscellaneous account. We don't get to see a breakdown of this $230,000. First of all, if it's renovations and repairs, it should be taken care of out of the state fund.
Yeah, that makes sense.
The state is allocating money to these facilities to maintain themselves, to operate. If a roof is leaking, for instance, they go out and they fix the roof, but they have money to do that. In this case, they're saying, we don't have money to do that. Let's take it from these guys. There's over $1 million in that fund, and we've contributed to that in everything we purchased with the canteen, the taxes that they put on us, money goes into the IDF. Our people who can afford it the least, who pay for our telephone calls, 41 cents of every dollar you people pay for our phone calls goes into that account.
This one here, the inmate benefit fund.
Yes. They're charging us $41 on every dollar on our phone calls. That's the kickback that the prison's getting. How much of that, I'm not sure, is going into the IBF. Some's going elsewhere, I'm sure, but the general fund probably. But the point of the matter is, I'm calling Rockland right now from Warren. Why is it costing $1.80 just for the privilege, and it is a privilege, by the way, WRFR and Rockland, to be able to speak to you. But $1.80 for the first minute and then like 35 cents for each additional minute for a local call. 35 cents is outrageous.
And you multiply that by all the calls that are made by all the people calling their loved ones.
By over 1,000 inmates. I mean, that's a lot of money.
And,
I mean, if how much are they paying? Let's start on that base. Okay, what is it costing you to put the telephones in? You've got that money already. You've already made that and then some. But and then maintaining them, you've made that and then some. Let's see, you're going to pay 3 or 4 cents a minute for every minute that's used. Now, you would think that a phone company out there vying for this state's business would say, hey, look, I got 1,000 people in here. I've got, let's see, there's three, six, there's about 80 or 90 telephones that inmates can use. That's a rough guess. But between the two units, and they're usually pretty busy.
My gosh, I didn't know there was that many.
Yeah, there's seven pods in the unit, with six phones in each pod. What's that? 35. Yeah, it's about 70 phones. And not to mention the ones in the SMU. There'd be 2, 4, 6, 8, maybe 10 more over there. But they're pretty busy over here. The phones are. So,
yep.
Are you still there?
Yep, okay. Sure am.
I heard a click.
That's okay. That was something over here.
Okay. Yeah, sometimes I hear something like that here, and they shut you off, and then you get a call back and pay that $1.80 again. It's crazy. It happens a lot. My friend Beth, I talked to her, and she wrote a letter to the governor complaining about that. You know, it's like, holy cow, how do you justify this? You know, when they sit there and they tell you made a three-way telephone call. Excuse me, the people don't have three-way calling.
Right.
They don't have that luxury. And then they tell me I can't remember. You remember, you did a telephone, our first interview, over the tape.
Oh, yeah, remember? I remember that. Yeah, you got to experience being cut off from the phone for
a month.
That was it, yeah.
Yeah, and you and I both know, as Bethany did, that it was tape recorded and played
so
later.
I have to assume that the they cut people off, but they can't cut everyone off because you start losing a lot of money if people are cut off from using the phone.
Yeah, but they target a few.
Mm-hmm. Just to keep people in line, yeah.
The president of the NAACP branch, the Main State Prison branch, Mike Parker, he's constantly having trouble with his telephones. I mean, he has problems with his phones that nobody has. Last week, for instance, right after our call, he came and sat down next to me to get on the phone, and he tried calling. He couldn't call any of his telephone numbers. He couldn't get through one. And that's pretty crazy. And then, the next day everything's okay. Or that night, you know. It's just these little things. Oh, you want to call now? We'll see about that. And it's funny because, you know, if he tells his girl, I'll call you back Tuesday at 8. Well, a Tuesday at 8, he can't get through. But if he tries Tuesday at 5 instead, just because on a whim, he gets through, so he knows they're listening to his calls and saying, oh, well, you ain't going to get through it, eh?
Right.
It's,
right.
You know, it's unconscionable, but anyway, the money that they're generating, you'd think that with the phone company, they could say, listen, this is what you're charging us, but if we can give you the exclusive service of 1,000 prisoners, how about bringing that down per minute? You know, I mean, like, people on the streets, from what I see from advertising, you can call anywhere in the world from anywhere from 3 to 7 cents a minute. I still don't understand why it's costing me 35 cents, or the people I talk to, 35 cents a minute to call Rockland, the local phone number. It just, you know, and I know it's not the phone company, because for a while we were able to call for free if it was a local call.
Right, well, it's very odd. They've done the reverse, you know. It's instead of who can do it cheapest, it's who can do it
the most.
Who can make it the most expensive so we get the largest cut.
Exactly.
That's kind of a reversal, and that maybe that's something that the legislature needs to look at as well.
And the lady behind it, Karen Carroll, she's now a deputy warden. A couple weeks ago, they just somehow found the money to raise her up from director of administrative services to the deputy warden. I'm like, holy cow, another deputy warden. Are we going to get a governor in here that's going to say, look, you got too many deputy wardens. All of you, 3 or 4, that are already retired, have a nice day.
Well, you know, that reminds you of something. I was going to ask you, if you can come up with a list of questions to set before the candidates, I'd appreciate that. If you think of that over the week and then give them to me next weekend.
Oh, definitely.
You know, because they're running around and, you know, our governor is not, by no means, the incumbent is by no means a shoo-in, so everybody's taking these questions from the public very seriously.
You know, what I find interesting is the get-out-the-vote drive that the NAACP is trying to move here. These people are against it. Like, you know, yeah, you got a right to vote, but you're not going to tell somebody who don't know how they can go about doing it, how to register. You know, it's a by-invitation thing. We wanted to put up flyers saying, those of you who are interested in learning how to vote and exercising your vote to change things, be heard. You don't like the governor that appoints the commissioner and the warden. Let's get rid of the guy. Let's get an honest man in there who says, I'm going to do something, and then does it. I think that, you know, these candidates should sign a waiver before they even go into office that if I fail to live up to any campaign promise I made, I am automatically out of office. There's no discussion, no vote, or nothing. I just leave.
Well, you know, that'd be possible if they had, we had the parliamentary system like every other modern Western country has, you know, where they can go vote or no confidence. You said you're going to do this. You didn't. You're out. You know, we're going to call a new election.
Exactly. Because it's fraudulent.
Yeah, we don't have that system. The founding fathers decided this winner take all. You're in there for 4 years unless you're really caught in a serious crime thing going on instead.
It's asinine because it's fraudulent. They can lie and say anything they want and then get in and then keep their cronies in power. They promise.
Right, right. Well, who knows? You know, we think about this as the greatest system of government. Maybe we need to re-examine that. Maybe, you know,
the greatest system of government because of its ability to be changed by the people.
Right. Well, parliaments are like that too. That's why the first parliament came up. King John or whoever was just being a tyrant, and then the parliament was set. Of course, that meant all the rich people, you know, were tired of being pushed around by the nobles. So they, you know, grabbed some power. But it worked out into how it is there now. But yeah, that's something. And let's see here. We're going to have to bail in a second here. But I wanted to ask you about, there's been a bunch of noise in the media about prison Islam, you know, about Islamic recruiting and so on. Do you know anything about that over there? Is that going on? Is there a mosque type thing set up there at Main State Prison?
We have a chapel that is shared by all of the religious groups.
Uh huh.
And they've all been under attack here from Sergeant Mendez, Tony Mendez. I don't mind saying his name. He's a Rockland resident. He took money from the Christian Chaplains Fund and bought radio batteries for their walkie-talkies because they couldn't get the money through regular channels.
He took money from the Christian.
Yes, he's been reprimanded for it.
Did the money get back? He probably had to pay it back.
I would assume so. He didn't take it for his personal use. He took it to buy batteries for the recreation radio.
But it's kind of indicative of the whole thing of, you know, money is to be slushed around and done with whatever the need is that moment instead of it was itemized for.
Well, the people on top are doing it, so they're not going to do anything to the people on the bottom when they do it.
Huh. And but going back to the Muslims and so on, is there a Muslim service that one can go to if you're interested?
Yeah.
You ever gone to it?
No. But out of respect. But I'm friends with several members who are also members of the NAACP, and sometimes they're targeted for, you know.
I wondered, you know, Susan Collins, our senator, you know, was waving around this book and going, this is a real threat. You know, the Islamic extremists are getting recruits to think about doing terrible things. And I'm thinking, wait a minute, you know, this is a bit of religious bigotry here.
Yeah.
You know?
That's not, see, that bothers me to single out a group of people and say, because you profess a certain faith, you're a threat. That's BS. There are extremists. You got some Christians in a way out there, okay? I mean, it's not any one religious group. This is people that are screwed up in the head, or some people who are so passionate about their ideals that they think God gave them a direct order to impose it upon others. But that's not what we have here.
Well, it's just very scary type rhetoric in the press there. It says, jailed Islamic extremists with violent interpretations of the Quran are taking advantage of scarce religious monitoring to breed terrorists in U.S. prisons.
Well, show us one that left the Main State Prison. I'd be interested in knowing him. Because most of the guys in here that I know of, they're peace-loving. You know, they reach out to their fellow brothers. You know, they encourage people to do positive things, to become part of the video letter group thing we got going here, where we can sit down for a few bucks, make a video, and send it out to our loved ones. You know, they sit there, they got a captain that oversees it to make sure that it's nothing
secret coded or whatever.
Right. And it was the NAACP that got that moving, they got that approved. I mean, those are the kind of things that these Muslims are working on. And it's not just the Muslims. There are a lot of us who are members of the NAACP.
It sounds to me just like discovered a new thing to get scared about, and now there'll be a lot of interest groups pop up to get grants to study, you know, prison Islamic stuff.
Oh, yeah.
You know, there's money in it.
Yep, and that money will be used for something else, you can bet, like the dealing with the gang violence. We have no gangs here. They're getting money for dealing with security threat groups.
And,
you know?
And there doesn't seem to be any, then.
Well, if you got four weightlifters playing pinochle,
uh-huh,
and they ain't taking any crap from anybody that tries to give them crap,
mm-hmm,
but other than that, they just mind their own business playing pinochle and lifting weights,
uh-huh,
they're a security threat group because somebody's afraid of them. Oh, keep an eye on them. What do they got for tattoos? One's got Mickey Mouse, the other one's got a sailor, the other one's got a sexy, provocative woman, the other one's got Donald Duck. Does that sound like gang-related paraphernalia?
I don't know. They may have to bring out the Moduform cell bed. Polyethylene leather.
Hit him with a rubber stamp.
Yeah. Hey, look, we're going to have to bail on out of here.
Okay, but before you take off,
yep,
I want to tell you listeners.
Sure.
You know, Sergeant George Millay finished his employment here last night. He was asked to stay a little longer, but really didn't want to. But he moved on to the Department of Corrections, and he's one of the guys that shares the respect of staff and prisoners alike. Be a great candidate for you know, like warden or commissioner, mm-hmm, or something like that. I mean, the man's educated. He's got a compassionate heart. He's got a pretty stiff fist too, if you know you cross the line.
Mm-hmm.
But just a real positive force that's not with us anymore. That, you know, something's wrong. This man doesn't have a problem saying, this is wrong and I'm going to fix it if I can.
And that, you know, main thing was, he was honest and fair then, is what you're saying.
Exactly, and he's moved on. I know he's listening today. He told me he would be, so mm-hmm, I want to say hi, George. And
well, good, and if he's moved off into the you know, the administrative end of things there at the DOC, well, if he can wade through that, that's another whole complicated mess there. Who knows? You're right. He may show up again one day over there in the warden's office.
Yeah, well, he'll be showing up from time to time to deal with people getting released because he's, like I said, a probation officer. So mm-hmm, he'll be coming in to sign papers and meet with new people that are going to be on probation. But so we'll catch a glimpse of him from now and then. But
all right, maybe we'll try to get him on the air here sometime. Sergeant George Millay.
Yes, good man, very good man.
Good man. All righty. Well, there we go, folks. See, there's lots of good apples in the barrel.
Yeah, there are. And that's another thing that bothers me. By the way, I got a response day before yesterday. I was told by the unit manager that the warden told him to tell me that I would be receiving a letter from him shortly. They've reached a resolution in my case. I don't know exactly what it is, what it's going to be, but we'll find out probably Monday or Tuesday. The property issue,
mm-hmm,
to replace the things that were disposed of improperly.
Right, right.
Captain George was assigned to look into that and make his recommendations. And, you know, there was a little give and take on it, but I'm satisfied with the effort that he put forth. So, I mean, it worked out for, you know, for the best. If I look, you know, not that I like to, but sometimes you're just going to stop and try to look at it from the other side.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I can, you know, okay, I can live with his recommendation. It works. The rest of it, I don't know where it stands as far as getting my job back wages.
You'll have to find out with that letter then when you get it, huh?
Max. Yeah, but I'll keep you posted on that.
Okay, and come up with some questions. Those governor's candidates are...
Yes, and I'll get some
there
from the NAACP as well.
Sounds good.
Okie dokie.
All right, thanks a lot for calling
in. All right, bye-bye.
All right, see you then. We were just talking with our correspondent at Main State Prison, Dean Brown.